Randy Gross. Kind of give me an idea of what you did when you were in the military. How were you serving us?
I was in the Marines for 6 years. 6 years and a little, like 2 months. And I started in boot camp in 1985, and then went from there. I was radio tech and fixed radios, basically. So I went to 29 Palms for about a year and a half for school. And then from there, I went to Okinawa, Japan, which was with a Motor T unit for like a year. And we basically transported. It was a transport unit. I did operations in like South Korea, Philippines, just mainland Japan, just somewhere around there. Korea was most of our playtime, basically work operation type thing. And then from there, I went to in... It was like 1988. It was March of 88, I think. I went to Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, and I was stationed there for 3.5 years. And we were basically kind of a signal intelligence unit, and we went with, we intercepted like planes and just all sorts of communications from other countries. And I went to Germany, and I got when they tore down the wall, but we were probably about 20 miles away from the border when they did it. That was like early in my, when I was there, I think it was 88, 89, somewhere around there. And then I went from there, and we just kind of stood back, and just in case, we didn't know how East and West Germany were going to, how it was going to work. So it was kind of a stand back, and just in case, and nothing happened, we just were there. Basically, it was a no frills. And then I went on a, there's a three-month rotation over to Panama. And when I was in Panama was when the Noriega thing all went up. Just Cause, I think it was called Just Cause, Operation Just Cause. And we took over Noriega, basically. And that was like, I was there for 6 months. And then when I got out of there, I did a med float. And it's like when I was going to Japan, I did a Westpac, which is kind of a 6 month ship. They go to different countries,
right?
And they call it a Westpac in the Pacific, and then the East they do a med float, Mediterranean. Basically, you go out to the Mediterranean, come back, and I was doing that in 1990, Christmas of 1990, I think I left there, and it was supposed to be a 6 month float, and then in like, I'm going to say it was like, I can't even remember when Iraq blew up. I think it was before we left, but we really didn't get involved in it until like February. And then we went to Turkey, and we were up with the Kurds. They were basically starting a country called Kurdistan, because in Iraq it was really, it was exploding. It was like Iraq was kind of trying to exterminate the Kurds from up. It was like, that must be west. No, I think it's west of Baghdad.
Right.
Is where we were. We were about 100 miles west. I'm not very good at where I was. I know where I was, but I don't know exactly on maps. But we were like on the Turkish border, Iraq border, and I think we were like 100 miles away from Baghdad when Iraq exploded. But that all went south. That all went kind of east, southeast, and nobody came up near the Kurds. They were kind of... We were on high alert because everybody thought they were going to try to kill them. Everybody thought the Iraqis were going to go that way, but they went the opposite way. So we just kind of stayed there, and there was a lot of that. I'm kind of involved in the burn pit thing right now, because up there we were doing that. They were burning munition things, and because that's kind of where all that gas and stuff for Kurdistan got, the Kurd got. And we built like 10 cities up there for them, and just kind of had families. I don't know. It was kind of interesting, but it was kind of boring, you know, because nothing really happened our way. I'm trying to think of the disease. There's some, we got really bad. It was like puking, diarrhea. What is it called? I'm terrible at this. But I don't know what we were. We had like, there was probably 10,000. A unit of 10,000, or probably not even that, 7,000 there, and I bet you 50% was sick. And they were trying to figure out why we were all getting sick, and they called it dysentery. That's what it was. Everybody was getting the dysentery, and I think it's a fly, food, poop thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's something like that. But then I was supposed to get out in June, and they ended up keeping me till August, because we were over there, and I couldn't get back. And then I got out.
In all those experiences, were there things that you took away from, like, the places like say, Berlin or the Noriega conflict, or what you experienced in Iraq during Iraqi freedom? Were there things that you took away from those that kind of stay with you?
How lucky Americans have it. Seeing these other countries and how unstable they were, it makes you really, even as mad as everybody is right now at different things, and you know what? We got it good. We got it really easy. Your kids can go out and go to school, and you see these people. I remember in Iraq, like, there was a family, and we had a sergeant. He was a hardcore Marine, and there was a Iraqi family that said, sit down, and they had dirty water, and they had dirty food, and a little fire, and he's like, they were like, sit down and have tea, and I don't even know what it was. It tasted like crap at the liquid end, but I was like, no, thank you, and Sergeant Benson just grabbed me and sit your ass down. He's like, these guys are going way out of their way, giving you what little they have, and you really start appreciating the little people have, because, I mean, they're like, right now, people are thinking, oh, hard, these are hard times, and I'm like, no, you guys haven't even seen anything. In Panama, I mean, their police force just went off. We were basically the police force, and it was, I mean, they went through tough times, too, not as bad as, like, the Kurds. The Kurds really had it hard, but then you see, like, in Philippines, it was, I mean, you see a lot of, there was like kids that would be swimming in sewer, getting stuff out of there, and it was just, you see bad and good, and I think you really appreciate what we got and how lucky we have it. And I don't care if it's Democrat, Republican, anybody, you just say, you know what, guys, the little bad you think you got, you don't got it that bad.
When you're looking at the society today and all this upheaval that we're having going on, there are little mirror images, I'm sure, of some of the places you've been to, Iraq and also down in Panama, where things like this were kind of going on as well, too, right?
I think this is not even, I mean, this is a hiccup compared to that. I think this is just kind of I mean, there's people getting hurt that shouldn't be getting hurt. I feel terrible for that. But still, when you see a whole society in shambles, I mean, if you see people living out of tents and people, and there is homeless right now living out of tents, but I'm saying the whole people. I mean, this is you're building a government for people in the tent city, and that's heartbreaking for the kids and everything. You know, they're trying to, they're not getting their education, they're not getting anything. And you've seen in a lot of countries that, you know, it's not so bad here, but I get people's, you know, how mad they are, but it's not bad. People should be more thankful. I wish that's what had come out of this, is be, you know, appreciate what you got and strive for a better society. That's what everybody should do.
When somebody goes into the military who you know, or maybe there's a kid out there right now who's thinking about getting into the military and having these potential eye-opening experiences, what do you tell them?
I've had, like, because we own a Don's Motor Mart in Lake Mills, Iowa, is our convenience store. And I've had like five workers of mine go in. One was a W woman Marine. She went in. She just retired, a sergeant major, like the highest ranking enlisted in the Marines. And I kind of push away a little bit because I know how dangerous it is, especially going in the Marines. And in any service, it's dangerous. And you don't want somebody put in a bad situation. But in the same sense, it is an eye-opening experience. I'm torn there because you worry about somebody. I mean, my kids, I'd love to see them go in and I'd hate it. My wife would kill me if they joined. But I'd be, you know, it's one of them, yes, no, I don't know. I don't know the answer there. You really start appreciating stuff, but in the same sense, it's dangerous. I don't know.
Well, we definitely appreciate your service, sir, and the freedom that you have given us. That's Randy Groth here on our VA Conversations.